Blog Talk Radio.
Another fine show brought to you by the Law of Attraction Radio Network. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio is the radio show that is changing the world through science and spirituality as we realize that our well-being and our happiness is through our own thoughts. The Law of Attraction Talk Radio. The Jewels. Welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from absolutely gorgeous Southern California. Wow, the world is topsy-turvy in politics, isn't it? Well, that's okay, because in my world, there's only peace and a whole bunch of fun. I've been in Cyrus World quite a bit last week and met a whole bunch of listeners. Let me give a special shout-out to Zori, Perky, Daisy, and Nancy, who I got to spend some really great time with. People were coming in, designing new bodies, learning how to fly, and then going and seeing the sights. We had such a great time. Soon we're going to be doing a live show from Cyrus, where you will be right there with us as I interview a guest. This is going to be great fun. I'm working out all the details now, so just stay tuned and I'll get you the information. Tonight we're going to have Philippa Merriweather coming to us from the UK, and we'll be talking about her latest book, Rescued by Angels. We're also going to be talking about Medtronic healing that she teaches, which is a method for personal transformation. It's really a fascinating show, so stay with us. In today's world, more and more people are turning to the internet to make money. If you're serious about creating a new source of income, then make your website an easy site. TheEasySite.com is even a great way to rejuvenate your existing website and increase traffic flow while maintaining the site yourself. It's easy. Attract new income your way with a professional website the easy way. Remember, TheEasySite.com. That's www.theEasySite.com. Unplug your mind from the daily news and plug your mind into creating a new life through the Law of Attraction Radio Network, the internet radio network that is changing the world. For mind-blowing aha moments, join us 24/7 as you listen to incredible, life-changing shows. Take Law of Attraction Radio Network to work, as you exercise, as you even shop via your iPod or MP3 player, or simply listen through your computer. Join us to create a new magical way of living all through the Law of Attraction. Tune in at lawofattracttalkradio.com. That's lawofattracttalkradio.com. See you there. I think everyone knows that Joe Dunning's Abundance Project is continuing on, but just in case you didn't get that email, Joe is extending the Abundance Project to July 15th. And from now until July 15th, every Friday, she will be sending energy to everyone who has and is signing up for this. So go to joedunning.com and sign up today. Join us as we bring abundance to ourselves and to the world. Speaking of Joe, Bob, a listener, thanked me for having Joe on my show, which was wonderful, but he also sent me a check for $100. To say I was shocked was an understatement. To say that this was just $100 is also an understatement. It became a huge opportunity for me to explore the Law of Attraction, which to me is absolutely priceless. So the question at hand was, should I cash this check or should I just give it away? Giving it away, as Bob did, would make me feel abundantly wealthy, which is exactly the place that I love to be the most. That's the place where I can create much more. But if I didn't keep the money, what message would I be sending to the universe? Would it send a message that my show is not worthy of appreciation, generosity, or even compensation. Money does flow to me when I do something that I absolutely love. What an interesting situation I found myself in. So I asked Bob what I should do. He said my pondering reminded him of a time that he sold Christmas trees. When customers asked him to find the best tree, he told them that beauty is always in the eye of the beholder and that they would have to pick their own tree. He went on to state, "As for the check, I did my part, the part that I was inspired to do. After that, it's up to you and it's your choice." Bob said that he was very glad to know, though, that it had caused me to think and ponder. His final word was this, "I think Joe would say, whatever you do will be just perfect." Well, I have made my decision on what to do, and I want to thank Bob for teaching me such a profound and personal lesson in my life. Truly, this was the best gift I had ever received. What did I decide? That beauty is truly in the eye of the beholder, and that my decision is absolutely perfect. Thanks, Bob. So on with tonight's show. Counselor and natural healer Philippa Merriweather shares her personal journey with us tonight through the nightmares and disasters that she experienced during the 1990s through her latest book, Rescued by Angels. Author of over 7 well-received books, including Healing Color and Over the Rainbow, Pippa created the therapeutic system, Medtronic Healing, which she now teaches in the UK and abroad. Welcome, Pippa, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio.
Hi, Julie. It's lovely to be here.
And it's lovely to talk to you. Pippa, I want to comment that I read your book, and I got to tell you, the humor in it is absolutely wonderful. It just makes reading it such a pleasure because you can giggle and cry.
Yeah, you need that. Otherwise, it would have been very grisly.
Pippa, let's get into the essence of why you chose to write this book.
The reason for writing it is to give people hope, because so many people go through so much incredible, let's just tell it like it is and say suffering on this planet. Mm-hmm. You know, they just do. And so many people lose hope. So many people get so traumatized, they think that they're the only person on the planet who's had such a terrible time. And in fact, you know, Scott Peck said in that book of his many years ago, life is difficult. And once you accept that life is difficult, then it stops being difficult because then you embrace the challenge and you rise to meet it and then it gets interesting. I've always remembered that. That's kind of the way he starts The Road Less Traveled.
That is a great book. I remember it well.
And so I guess, you know, that's the essence of the thing and why, you know, what. In fact, I was told to write it. I wouldn't have been so audacious, but somebody that I trust very deeply said, look, you've just got to do this, because as you will have gathered from reading the book, the real end of the journey, or rather the destiny of the journey, was for this incredible new healing system to be birthed through me, I guess. And it wouldn't have happened had I not kind of been pushed to so many edges of so many walls, or, you know, so many cliffs or whatever. Because when you are in that place of there just ain't anywhere else to go, you have to go inside. And when you go inside, that's when you meet something beyond your ego.
Perhaps we can get into some of the trials and tribulations that you experienced that led you to be this profound healer and teacher.
It was a gradual process, but I think that each part of the journey was essential. I mean, there was a very abusive marriage in the early years. There was then, of course, the extreme physical trauma, really, of, well, emotional and physical trauma, because it was a joint process. The losing, we lost everything we'd owned, just kind of very, very quickly. Everything was swept from under our feet. And then we had that ludicrously extreme experience of, you know, living in a place that was so cold I lost consciousness, literally. And that went kind of on and on. And with that increasing abuse of the man in the house, and so of course I had to rescue my three kids, and I got to the point where it was so impossible to sustain even another day in the same house that with absolutely nowhere to go, I just decided out. And I went and I asked somebody if I could borrow a caravan first of all, and then we borrowed a spare bedroom, and it went from there. So it was literally leaving with three children under my care without a bean in the world and nowhere to go. So it was, when you're in that situation, you have to become resourceful. Okay. Otherwise, you'd just curl up in a heap and everybody would die and you'd all be miserable. So that doesn't work, you know. But I think it was at that point that I began to get the truth of we create our own reality. I didn't understand it at a cellular level at that point, but I had really been reading a lot and understanding in my head that, you know, somehow or other we create the lessons that we need the most.
Uh-huh.
And so I was embracing that as a possibility, though it took me a long time before I thoroughly accepted it. I think for a lot of people, when they're beginning to understand the law of attraction, there's a kind of phase you go through where you think, well, I mean, I know we create our own reality, but I certainly didn't create this bit and that bit, and, you know. So we get quite selective about which bits we think we've been bright enough to create and which ones were somebody else's fault.
But that's so true. As soon as we get to that point where we can accept, absolutely accept, that we create everything in our life, that's when our life changes.
Completely, yeah. I really, really, I was going to say I really believe that. It's not that I believe it, it's that I know it. I absolutely know that to be truth. And the more that you step into that, the more powerful you step into that, the quicker things happen. The more they come just, you know, the coincidences get more and more amazing and the whole process is stepped up.
So where do all the angels fit into this?
Well, you know what? I think they were around for a lot longer than I realized, because I wasn't doing that much one-on-one, but I was always doing some, because For decades, I'd had a healing gift that was just natural, you know. I mean, I'd discovered decades earlier that if I put my hands on somebody, then the headache would go away, kind of thing. But I was finding that people, you know, when I was doing healing on people, that I would suddenly feel an energy come in and I would find my hands and arms being moved around in strange ways. And then they'd come to and sort of say, oh, my God, you know, what on earth happened there? And so I was vaguely understanding that there was something of a different order that was coming in. But, you know, I didn't put a name to it. I just accepted that, you know, I'd had quite a lot of experience by then, and I guess I was used to working with energy a lot and so on. But really, Julie, the moment that the big thing happened was, as I've described it in that book, it was literally I was coming to one morning, I was kind of semi-meditating. I tend to be in that state when I'm first waking up. You know, I'm sort of talking to what I call the team upstairs and listening to them. Only in a very vague way it was that day. And then suddenly there was this message, and I can locate it exactly. You know, sort of six feet to the northeast of my head, sort of thing. And it was a very clear message about taking the story out of the body. And then what was so interesting was that I think I left it until late in the day when I knew I was in the right space. And then I took myself to a private place and I said, okay, so what are you asking me to do? And I laid down and I just allowed whatever was going to happen. And I found all these rays of light coming in. I felt an extraordinarily high, sort of, when I say high, I mean a very beautifully bright, high frequency kind of angelic presence of some kind. And I saw a lot of vaguely golden instruments, and then these rays of light of very subtle but very nebulous colors, very sort of shimmering colors, moved into my body and dug out a scene that I had no conscious idea was still there. I mean, I was talking, you know, 16 years after I'd left the marriage that I mentioned as having been very abusive, and it was something to do with that. And that was all very nice and all very interesting. But what really interested me was when the person concerned, with whom I've had no contact for many years, and there's never been any forgiveness coming from him, just anger that I left. But what happened was that this person appeared on the ceiling, but absolutely beaming down what I can only describe as love and light. And that was really a shock, because that was so the opposite of what I've ever received on a human level. And so I thought, ah, there's something going on here. And then it was the speed after that that was so amazing, because I texted a friend probably the next day and I said, there's something happening here and I have a feeling you need it. And she texted straight back. And she's somebody who's very busy. She wouldn't normally do that. And she said, how about now? And we worked for the rest of the day together. And then a very dear close friend from South Africa, with whom I work closely, and she does fabulous work with colour, she was coming over and we worked together for 3 days. And she said, look, this is really, really important you get this out. And she's actually somebody who very soon after started to make essences to support the work that I was doing. And that's another story, but it's wonderful. It's part of my backup toolkit. And she then went away and showed a few of her friends. And within 3 weeks, I had a request to go and teach. And I was just gobsmacked because I wasn't aware there was anything to teach. But I said I'd ask. I said I would tune in and see. And so I did. And I was told, yes, and there's a process of attunements and transmissions that has to happen. And so I went along to the first workshop 3 weeks later, where there was just a small group, 7 people gathered. And I said, I haven't the faintest idea what I'm doing, but what I do know is I'll be shown every step of the way. And it went from there, and people were totally gobsmacked that weekend, you know, the power of this thing. Transmissions that were sending them straight to sleep, or making them burst into tears, or making them laugh, or whatever. And since then, it's been growing so fast. I mean, I have doctors and psychiatrists and lawyers and abuse workers and, I mean, just all sorts of people coming along.
So you're talking about color therapy and Metatronic healing, right?
Well, the color I don't do very much of anymore because I don't have time. But the thing is that the Metatronic healing was, I think, probably partly the reason why I was the channel that it came through, is that these rays, there's a lot of them now, because there's 3 different levels to the healing training. And these rays actually express themselves as colour, I mean, as coloured rays. They're different from any energies I've seen before. And for instance, the second level, they're all very metallic. There's gold and silver and copper and things. But I had that basic understanding of the psychology of colour, which meant I could receive that at a cellular level, but kind of understand it informationally as well, if you like.
So you already had the knowledge of what each color represents and means psychologically.
Exactly. And so I would have a sense. I mean, I did actually channel a lot of information about these particular rays when they came through, but I had that kind of basic grounding in what you might call a more conventional color therapy.
So in color therapy, what exactly are you talking about? Are you talking about the colors surrounding that are possibly in the aura or within you? What exactly do you mean?
Talking about in the color therapy training and indeed teaching that I've done for many years before, because I took color therapy out to Japan, I took it out to Eastern Europe, I did a little bit in America and Canada and in other European countries. So I was used to working with a system where, suppose you were my client, Julie, suppose you came along to me and said, I need a consultation, then in those days, my system would have been, I would have offered you a choice of a load of different colors it contained within bottles, and you would have chosen a range of a few, and I would have analyzed those for you and fed you back with a lot of information on an emotional, spiritual, mental, physical level about yourself. I don't work in that way anymore. Other friends of mine do, but I, you know what, that was my grounding, that was my preparation to receive this. And I think that, as I say, the reason why I received this as opposed to anybody else receiving it is because of having that basic understanding at a, if you like, psycho-spiritual level about color, so that when these rays came through, I immediately had a sense of which would be most useful in what context. Kind of thing. Part of the information is color-based, but that's really only a part of it, and I certainly don't call it color therapy.
So you expanded beyond the color therapy, and now you are into Metatronic healing. Can you explain what that is?
Yes, absolutely. It started off, as I say, with the request to take the story out of the body energetically. That was the message I received that morning. And it means the stories that we keep repeating to ourselves because they relate to events, for instance, abuse, trauma, and very much also to our limiting beliefs about ourselves, like I'm the illest, or I'm the poorest, or I'm the cleverest, or I'm the most beautiful, or whatever, you know, all the ego stuff. The ego tells us stories all the time about how clever we are, or how sad we are, or what victims we are, or, you know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
And so those actually limit us because they're ego-based. And so, you know, when you start to notice, what I do is I take people into a state of quite deep relaxation,
uh-huh.
And I'm always channeling anyway as I'm working, and the energy is there in the room from when we begin working. And then I invite them to allow the energy in through the breath and around the body and so on, and to allow themselves to be shown where, supposing they've been carrying anger, let's say, anger, resentment, or something, for, you know, X years, I invite them to be shown if there's a place on the body, place within the body where this thought form or this limiting belief, this story, in other words, is being held. And then they're invited just to let these energies gently dissolve that story, lift it out, and then replace it with something that's much more nurturing, much more resonant with the truth of their being, rather than the illusion which we all get stuck in when we're basically in our egos.
So what you're doing is essentially changing the past.
Changing the past. That you've absolutely hit the nail on the head, Julie. And that's, of course, you've picked that up in the book, haven't you?
Yes.
It's so exciting, that. Because the other thing I really want to tell you is that one of the first things I was guided to do when I started to do these treatments with people is that I would find myself, because I'm NLP trained as well, I would find myself inviting them to be taken back along their timeline in this life to see if they came to a point where that uncomfortable feeling in the body to do with whatever emotion or whatever trauma it was no longer there. And sometimes you'll find that it's, you know, something like age 12, and they go back beyond age 12 and they find it's not there. Very often you find, in fact, you have to take them back to a previous life.
Mm.
And so I do that, and what you find then is that you can take them back just to glimpse that life, but you don't have to take them into the trauma of it. Because what I do then is suggest that they rewind the movie to remove themselves from that scene, change their energetic state, allow the Metatron energies to absolutely fill them up so they feel powerful and light-filled and love-filled, and then they can go back into the scene. And then the outcome, of course, is completely different because they're not going in as victims, they're not going in with fear. They're going in with love, with light, with power, and then sometimes they even transform those who are around them, you know, and then they come back. You then guide them back into this life, and every single time their body state, their energy state, their physical state is already very radically different. Mm-hmm. And then lifting out any residue of the story or transforming any residue of the story is an absolute piece of cake. So that's exciting. But then the other aspect of it, which is very important, in a way, the further I've got into this and the more I've taught it, the more I've understood that taking out the story is really only the beginning of the story, you know, and that really it's about downloading, it's about recalibrating the system to hold a much more expanded frequency of light. It helps people to expand way beyond their limitations and to embrace much more of who they really are. So it literally recalibrates the system. And that's where it gets awesomely exciting. And what I'm finding is every Reiki master, every regression therapy, you know, everybody who's come, particularly people who have been used to using the energies of Reiki and Sekhem and those kinds of things, are saying that this is just way, way beyond the power of those older systems. And also those who want to go on working with their Reiki, they find that it amplifies it, it changes it, it makes it more powerful, it makes it deeper acting. But I think also because this thing is actually taking the story out by the roots, then there seems to be a feeling, in fact I'm getting so much feedback that people are, a lot of therapists come back to me, therapists who come and train, they come back and they say nothing has ever done what this does. Nothing goes as deep and nothing lasts like this does. Because you've taken something out by the roots and you've replaced it with something which is like a reminder of who they really are, you know?
Uh-huh.
I mean, we're all really light-based. We're all beings of light. We've all come from light. Allah taught us that thousands of years ago, and the quantum mechanics have taught us that in the last 100 years or so.
So these beams of light are coming from the angelic realm?
It's coming from the angelic realms, and people will interpret that differently according to what, if anything, the angelic realms may mean for them. And I think I've said something in the book about, you know, a scientist might call it a frequency, and essentially everything in the universe is frequency. So it doesn't matter whether you have a kind of religious, quote-unquote, perception of angelic realms or angelic energies, or whether your understanding is more nebulous or more science-based. But, you know, the fact is that they're coming from, I really have to say that I know that they're coming from realms where the consciousness is higher than our own.
Mm.
It's more expanded than our own. And we're being given assistance at a time when, you know, so many people in the world are really raising their gain, really raising their level of vibration. We've done so much work, so many of us, so we're kind of, it's like we've raised our vibration to a certain degree already, and so energies that were previously out of our reach can now come and meet us.
So it's true that consciousness is now shifting because we are all lifting our vibration up at a higher frequency, but we still need to realize that there are higher energies on which we could call for additional assistance. Is that correct? Such as calling upon the angels.
I'm convinced, and I'll tell you one of the things that many mystics have said over the years is that the angels are always there, but they cannot help us unless we invoke them, unless we consciously make contact with them.
Yeah.
Or they can't help us particularly much, perhaps. I mean, you do hear stories of, you know, there are documented stories of people who find themselves being taken out of a burning house or lifted off a cliff where the car's falling off or something. You know, I'm sure you've heard of stories like that.
Oh, yeah.
But probably even then, somebody who's just about to face death is yelling for help, you know, and so the help comes. But, you know, generally, we have to be conscious. We have to be co-creators. So, you know, we can get spiritual help much more actively when we open the door to it and say, I'm here, please, you know, please listen and please respond. And I'm delighted to let you in. Don't you agree?
Oh, yes, but in the law of attraction, if we're asking for something, usually it will portray the fact that we are staying in our lack because we're asking.
If you're saying you want it, but if you're opening your heart and being willing to receive, that is actually a fundamental part of the law of attraction.
Hmm. Should we be asking the angels for help, or should we be stating the fact that we expect this help to come?
Well, Julie, I wasn't asking the angels for help the day that message came. I was just
allowing.
I was just in that kind of chatting with upstairs mood, you know. I certainly wasn't asking for anything. I was just in an open space.
Did you ever ask to have this healing capability?
Never.
But there was something in you that allowed this information to flow to you.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I had been a healer of sorts for donkey's years, but I never quite knew what my healing path was really supposed to be. I think I always knew while I was doing colour that there was something else I was waiting for, because I was never totally fulfilled by colour. I'm not saying it's not the most fabulous tool, it's absolutely wonderful. And many friends of mine use it very successfully, very, very powerfully. But it's not quite my thing. So I always knew that there was something else waiting to come in. And it's been proved by the fact that once this arrived, it's just gone like grease lightning. I'm really, really amazed by the speed at which, you know, the system has anchored itself on the planet. I mean, I've now got 3 levels and 4 modules in between each of the levels, which, you know, really do send people out when they've done the full training. They go out really very, very competent and very clear as practitioners. And, you know, it's only 2 years since it arrived, so that in itself is fairly awesome. And when this friend of mine, this guide, this spiritual helper, told me in no uncertain terms I've got to write my story, he said, "I'm sorry, I know you don't want to write another book," because at that point I hadn't wanted to write another book. And but you've got to do it. You've got to do this one. And I kind of gently groaned and put it aside for a while. And then a few months later, I was sitting on a train, and then suddenly, whoosh, I had a notepad with me. And whoosh, it was a long train ride. I was on the train for about 7 hours, and by the time I got to the other end, I'd written the first couple of chapters. It just came absolutely piling through. And it actually only took me 6 weeks to write.
Wow.
So, you know, that's been a characteristic of this thing since it happened. It's just been coming at, you know, the speed has been astonishing. And I wrote the book, and then a week later a publisher accepted it, which was interesting as well, because it's basically biographical, as you know. And, you know, that kind of thing. It's a joke that you have to be a footballer or a dead princess to get an autobiography published. You know, it's not the sort of thing that people go for unless you're already known. So I'm not crowing here. I'm not saying, aren't I clever? I'm just simply saying that right from the beginning, there's been something about this system that is so crucially important for where we are at this point as we approach 2012, as so many people are in crisis, but also so many people are just so ready to open their hearts, so ready to expand and move into, you know, away from the fear base that's been governing so many of, you know, so much of humanity for so long. I believe we're at a really huge, not even crossroads, it's like the road is opening out in some way.
I like the term fear that you used in the book, forgetting everything is all right. I really love that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. It was somebody else who gave me that acronym, but I've used it a lot. I think it's very, very powerful. And you know, I mean, that little story I told of me on the plane, just as I'd really, really thought I'd made it, I really thought I'd got my hotline to God sort of thing. You know, I'd written the letter, I was feeling all good, and then absolutely bawled my eyes out for 18 hours all the way home on the plane, because I was absolutely ludicrously, absurdly frightened that the plane was going to crash and I was never going to see my children again. And, you know, that was just an illustration. I put that in because it's an illustration, particularly when somebody's traumatized, of how quickly you move back from fear, from you know, a leg up, if you like, into faith, back into fear. I've always remembered Neil Donald Walsh, who's obviously, you know, we all have a massive respect for his work. Mm-hmm. I've always remembered him saying he channeled the whole of that first incredible volume of Conversations of God and then went straight back into fear, thinking that, you know, he wouldn't get it published and you know, all that stuff. And we all know that, I think, if we've been to any kind of really difficult place. I think we all know that process of we take 2 steps forward and then we take at least 1 step back and sometimes, you know, even 3 for a short time.
So really, your bottom line message is that everything is going to be all right. We just have to keep on raising our vibration to a higher frequency.
I really believe that. I really believe that things don't happen by chance, and I believe a phrase I've often used with clients is there's a plan behind the pain. I also believe that ultimately we're destined to learn to evolve through joy rather than suffering. I don't think we're there yet as a species, but I think that, you know, the possibility is there. But right now it seems if we get too cozy in our armchairs, we don't bother to do any work. You know, it seems we have to have the pinpricks to get us going.
You know, I think that's the beauty behind learning about the law of attraction. It gives you permission that it's perfectly okay to go out there, create the life that you absolutely want so that you can live in joy. That just means that we have to keep our vibration up and keep on growing our vibration up.
Oh, absolutely right, Julia. I completely agree with you. I only mean that in practice, there's not that many people who are actually living that yet.
Yes, you're absolutely right. We're not there yet. But each day, we're getting higher and higher. It's getting closer.
Yes. Well, I went through a period of watching at least a part of The Secret every day for a while, just because it wasn't that I didn't know the law, but having it presented in that way that experiential somehow, what's the word? You know, when it kind of gets into you subliminally, it gets into you at a visceral level.
Right.
I found that a very helpful process because I knew with my, you know, we all know things with our heads, but getting ourselves to believe them in the guts is a tricky one.
And that's where taking the story out of the body can really come into play here.
Yeah, it is massive, you know, it really is. It's a key turning point for so many people. And then once the story, even apart, I mean, obviously we've got loads of stories, we've all got lots of stories, but we tend to have some fairly, each of us has particularly prominent stories. And when the prominent ones are gone, and you literally make space for something else to come in. It's a bit like if you look at a woman who stays in an abusive relationship, and we've all known many women who do that for decades.
Uh-huh.
Or who still think they're in love with somebody who, you know, who is not returning their love,
uh-huh.
Then energetically there isn't any space in their life to receive the person who will fulfill them.
Uh-huh.
And so it doesn't happen. Take that story out and then translate that to any other story you like, and you literally make the space for something better to come in. And uh-huh. I love that.
Uh-huh.
And that's what the transmissions do. The transmissions are literally bringing in a higher frequency of light, which means that people leap up into their power, leap up, which of course means their power to attract what they intend consciously to attract instead of being stuck in the old myth.
Can this be effective in health issues and tumors and increasing your energy levels?
It does, but I don't make claims. I mean, for instance, are you aware of Eric Pearl's work? It's completely fabulous. Eric Pearl, The Reconnection.
Yes, as a matter of fact, he's going to be a guest on our show soon.
It was very interesting. I only read that book a couple of weeks ago. And on one level, I was very excited to read it because it was like, on one level, well, thanks for writing it because this explains what I've been doing the last couple of years. But I don't work as Eric does. Eric works on a very, very clearly physical level and does these incredibly miraculous healings. What I am aware of is that this system also is bringing in frequencies from another plane, if you like, another place. But the focus is much more to do with spiritual growth. It's much more to do with personal empowerment. And I mean, my forte has always been more along the lines of the emotional, spiritual, even mental healing than the physically based stuff. But, of course, all imbalance starts outside in those realms. And so what I'm finding is that quite often you will get quite remarkable physical consequences of the intensive healing that's happening at all those other levels. So that, I mean, for instance, I have had one person so far who's come back to me and said that they went back to their doctor for the second operation on their cancerous tumour, and the doctors couldn't find it and they wrote them off. Now, that doesn't mean I'm going out saying I've got a cure for cancer. It means that there is a possibility when we really take hold of our power, when we get rid of the story, the story that binds us into constriction and contraction and fear and loss, that all sorts of miracles can happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I am training practitioners, mostly in London at the moment. I'll be coming to America later. But I'm training practitioners to do this work. And as we expand, we're going to get much, much more of a database of, you know, the things that are happening as a result of it. I'm getting the most amazing stories back, and basically everybody who comes back to me says, this has changed my life.
Mm.
That doesn't mean I've yet got a huge database of miracle physical healings. But, you know, there's some amazing things. I mean, little things, like one girl came along to me and said, you said that the pink and white rays together would dissolve scarring. Well, I'd had an intuition that they would. I'd had an intuition that particularly emotional scarring. So I said, yeah, sure, it's true. So she said, well, can I have some pink and white? So my friend who makes these essences, I thought, well, just as an experiment, because she puts the same energy into these essences that I do into the transmissions. So I mixed some together just to keep her happy and said, there you are, you try that. She came back to me 3 weeks later and said, look, I used to have all these bumps, scars all over the top of my body. They've all gone. So then, you know, you get the feedback that, oh, my goodness, this actually seems to be true at a physical level as well. And, you know, bit by bit, we're getting that kind of feedback. Somebody with bursitis, I was told about a little while ago, who, you know, really, really painful thing, and a treatment sorted it out. My focus is on teaching. My focus is teaching practitioners to do the one-on-ones. And as that happens more and more, I'm hearing some very interesting stories coming back.
So in truth, this would be energy psychology at its best, because you're bringing the body in alignment with the mind by removing that story that got them out of alignment to begin with.
I would say even beyond in alignment with the mind, I would say in alignment with the soul, because to me the mind often has a lot of ego, you know, and so the mind can play tricks on us. In line with the heart, which to me is the gateway with the soul, gateway to the soul, you know, there's a lot about awakening the heart in this system. It was kind of the second promise, was that the heart center would be activated. The heart center gets activated, then I'm sure you are as aware as anybody of what happens. You know, I mean, if we activate our hearts, then our whole being changes. We become so much more love-based. We become so much more giving and feeling in a trusting. We trust the universe. We trust God. We trust the process. And so, of course, our reality changes profoundly.
I have noticed that society is now starting to pay attention to all these healers that are coming to light. And it's like there's a different school to attract more and more people, that there is no right way or wrong way. In fact, that healing is now expanding to new heights. What is the reason behind all this?
I do think we'd be fairly Pollyanna-ish not to admit that at some level we're in quite a deep crisis. I do think that. But that said, I also believe that the outcome is assured. I do believe that there is, throughout history, there's been a kind of, if you like, a battle between the forces of creativity and the forces of not creativity. You know, I don't particularly like to use words like light and dark. It implies judgment. But, you know, I think there have always been two sides to the force, if you like. And I think that because so many wonderful human beings all around the planet have been working so actively to bring in more light, to work with the energies of love rather than the energies of fear and so on, I mean, this has been going on. There's been a snowball that's been getting more and more wonderfully powerful over the last few decades. And I believe that the light will definitely win through. But I think part of that process is that more and more of humanity has to be educated, has to be educated into remembering who we really are.
And perhaps there's another reason, and it has to do with the internet. Because of the internet, the world is so much smaller. We're able to communicate and find out about other people in other areas. We're actually able to expand the planet's consciousness to hear, to feel, to experience new ways of living, new understandings.
I think that the internet has been the most exciting and wonderful gift to mankind for as long as, you know, as long as ever. And I think the only thing about it is that we have a responsibility to use it for good, of course. There's all, but, you know, great inventions always offer us a challenge. You know, we can use it to separate ourselves from each other and you know, see less of our neighbours and so on, and of course for the, you know, the more murky things.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that in fact the arrival of the internet was absolutely in line with man's expanding consciousness. And it's an incredibly beautiful tool because it's made the world like a village.
Yeah.
I've got new best friends all over the planet. I haven't necessarily met them face to face, but you know, you really get to know people. Find your soul family and you find light workers who are able to support each other through it. And isn't it the most fabulous time to be alive? I love it.
It is wonderful. So after writing about your children in the book, tell me how they are doing.
She's doing, the little one that was so smashed up is doing incredibly well. I mean, there's still a bit of a way to go, but nothing, you wouldn't know it.
Tell the audience what you mean by being smashed up.
I mean that she was hit by a car when she was six and the doctors held out no hope at all of saving her. They didn't see there was any way of saving her life. And 3.5 weeks later, she tottered down 50 steps or so, I mean 50 footsteps, down to the end of the corridor where there was a wheelchair waiting to take her to the car. And it's been a long journey ever since. I mean, she didn't know my name. She didn't, you know, she had to learn everything again. She was back in nappies. She had to learn to walk, talk, find out who I was, find out who her sister was. And it was an incredibly huge process. And then there was the much more subtle fallout from the brain damage, which nobody warned us about, which meant that, you know, increasing difficulty walking and things like that. But basically, I, as I've talked about in the book, had that crazy moment, except it wasn't crazy, but that moment when I took her to the fun fair 3 months later, when I had this sudden, we can reach the point where the accident never happened. And it was like, oh my God, we can change the past. And I just held that as a vision from then on, and I went on searching the planet. And she has just gone from strength to strength to strength. And she's a quite remarkable, amazing, fabulous friend.
And how old is she now?
She's 22. She's still at uni. She's learning about childhood studies at the moment, partly because she wanted to find out what childhood is, because she doesn't have any, you know, she doesn't really have a childhood, but mostly because she wants to help kids. So she's doing that. And my son is in Thailand. He's very much an entrepreneur, and he's a healer as well. I mean, all my children are healers. They can't help it. They're not necessarily anymore. I mean, I think I was a reluctant healer for years. You know, I didn't really want to be a healer. I wasn't really quite sure, you know. I mean, we all take a while to discover what our real mission is. And so my son is saying to me, I'm afraid I'm not going to be able to ignore this for very much longer, but I'll ignore it for as long as I can because I want to make some money. And, you know, he wants to put himself in a stable position first. He wants to make sure that he doesn't foist on any family he might have the same kind of reality that they lived as kids, you know. And as your listeners will find out if they choose to read this book, then, you know, it's a story of fairly extreme deprivation that those kids lived through, which meant that they enjoyed things so much when they got them. Forgotten the day I took them to the supermarket after 2 years of living on lentils and rice. I got a job and I took them to the supermarket, and you should have seen their faces when I said yes, they could buy some fruit and yes, they could have the yogurts. It was like they were at the fun fair. They just didn't know what had hit them. They had more fun that day than they've ever had in their lives. So, you know, it really is true that to lose everything is incredibly good for us in terms of making us regroup and, you know, reassess our values and start appreciating things instead of just taking everything for granted. Gratitude, as you know, is a very powerful energy. So he's doing great, and then my darling eldest daughter, she comes and helps me on workshops sometimes, and she's also working really with rehabilitating drug offenders. And she wants to go to New York. She wants to spend 6 months in New York doing that before she settles down and gets married, which she will do before long, because she's got to the age where she really wants babies now. But she does feel that she would very much like to do a six-month stint of that, you know, if she can beforehand. We'll see. But she's done years of that. She's one of those rare individuals who carries an incredible amount of light and loves shopping and loves parties, but also does this, what I think is incredibly draining work without ever getting drained.
They all sound wonderful. But tell me, have you taught them about the healing, or do they just know it intuitively?
I think a bit of both, you know. I think we all, I mean, for one thing, I think we all sign up to do certain life paths together.
Uh-huh.
I don't think we end up in the same family by accident. So I think we all signed on for this particular trip. Uh-huh. They used to say if they signed on for it, they'd had one too many. But, you know, that I think we all know that we're in this together. And we're an incredibly close set of four people, you know. I mean, my new husband as well loves them all dearly, and they love him. And they've all left home, but, you know, we just completely root for each other, all of us. And we're always in constant close contact. Not oppressively so, but, you know, the journey has made us into the most incredibly firm friends.
So what happened to your first husband?
I don't know.
Have you tried, or is it, in fact, not necessary?
I've tried, but we don't get any you know, any response from that. I mean, two of my children have tried quite hard in the last year to find him, because they just feel they'd quite like to meet him, but he's not interested, so...
He must have a very different vibration.
Very different vibration, and basically he said because I took the children away from him, then they were not his responsibility any longer, so he cut them off at once and wouldn't feed them or anything. So they got a very clear message that they had one parent who loved them and another who didn't care, so... In a way, you know, even that might be simpler. I feel quite sorry for these families where the children are so conflicted every weekend
mm-hmm.
as they go from one parent to another. I don't mean that I think it's a good thing. I think, you know, it's been extremely painful for them. But, you know, in one way, I'm just looking at it, looking for the silver lining and thinking, well, maybe it's simpler like that.
So it appears that you traded a really difficult relationship with a wonderful, brand new situation.
A really very happy situation. And my darling husband is deeply supportive of the work I do. You know, he completely has stood by me through these, you know, quite difficult years that went on, as the book kind of indicates, for some years, even though I was basically rescued. You know, it took some time more before this arrived. And, you know, quite a lot of experimenting and trying to go somewhere with books and so on, and nothing was quite taking off.
Uh-huh.
And then, but, you know, even through those years, he just knew that I had something that was important to, you know, to share. And then when it took this kind of form, of course, we've never looked back, but he's nearly retiring. I mean, he's got to retirement age, but he is actively supporting me in every possible way.
Oh, wonderful.
So it's lovely. It's really lovely, and I'm so grateful for it. And
wow.
So we have intentions of, and we're performing a Metatronic Healing Foundation fairly shortly. We'll be doing that. And so then the next stage, a little bit down the road, will be to get that established in America as well. Because I love America. I cannot tell you how much we both love America.
Yes, you talk about California quite a bit. Where in California?
It's up and ish. I mean, it's only about 100 miles south of San Francisco. It's Carmel we go to.
Oh, Carmel, of course. I can see why you fell in love with it.
Wonderful. It's absolutely wonderful. We haven't been for quite a little while. We're going again probably this autumn. And we both resonate very deeply with American people. We love them.
Well, we love you too. So let's tell people how they can get your book and find out more about Metatronic Healing.
Well, it's available on Amazon for a start. That's often the easiest way, you know, only just come out. So it'll be in the shops. It will have been in the shops for a day or two, I think, when this program airs.
Uh-huh.
Because the publication date is 24th. Or I'd love to mention my website.
Oh, yes, please.
Which is metatronic-life.com. Yes, it's Metatronic, Metatronic, then a dash, life.com. There's quite a bit of information on there, And there's a picture of the book, which will take people straight through to Amazon.
Good.
And for people who are interested in the background, some of the, you know, some of the kind of philosophy that I've got hold of that I feel backs what I'm receiving direct from spirit, you know, a certain amount about Kabbalah, for instance. I don't mean I'm not in any way trained in Kabbalah. I've got no Jewish background at all or any, but I mean Kabbalah is something that predates all religions anyway,
uh-huh.
and it has some wonderful sort of information for all of humanity. So there's a bit about that, and there's quite a bit about the workshops, and
I'm sure your website has all the information on upcoming trainings as well. And let's just set the intention here that if there's someone out there that would love to bring or help Pippa do a workshop here in the U.S., let's get that going so we can learn more about this Metatronic healing.
Yes, that would be very wonderful. One of the things I say to people about these energies is they have their own intelligence. They have their own agenda, and they do exactly what they want, you know. And what they want is absolutely for our good, you know, for our good and our delight. But it's kind of like you just really trust these energies to go where they need it and do what they are required to do. It's very exciting. And Julie, you do such fabulous work. You get such lovely people on your show.
Well, thank you. I absolutely love every second of it. It's just fulfills my life in ways I can't even describe. Pippa, do you have any new projects that you are working on?
I tend to do things rather fast these days. So I was in bed with a kind of flu dose, which was my body saying, sorry, mate, you've got to stop. And I got to that point where I was bored. So I sat up and started writing this book called The Wisdom of Oz with a Z. And I sent it off to my publisher and he said, yeah, that's great, we'll go with it. And so that is going to be published early next year. Is really totally about the law of attraction. It's showing what the Wizard of Oz is really all about.
That does sound very interesting. You must come back on and tell us all about it.
That would be good.
So thank you so much, Pippa, for coming on and sharing all this wonderful information. I really appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Julie.
And that's it for tonight's show. Be back next Sunday with Dawson Church, who's going to be talking about some incredible new scientific data about alternative medicine. Have a great week. Talk to you later. Bye-bye. Thank you for joining us on Law of Attraction Talk Radio with Jules. For more information, go to Law of Attraction Radio Network at Law of Attract. TalkRadio.com or LawOfAttractionTools.com.